You're listening to SBS News.
This story of a peacekeeping mission to a war-ravaged Bougainville is a rarely told tale of Anzac cooperation. The Pacific Island was in the midst of a decade-long civil war during the 1990s, a violent conflict that claimed at least 20,000 lives, almost one-sixth of the population. The dispute erupted over an Australian-owned Papua New Guinea-run copper mine on the island. Once administered by Australia, before becoming part of PNG, Bougainville is around 1,500 kilometres northeast of Australia and 1,000 kilometres east of Papua New Guinea. Following a series of failed peace efforts, in October 1997, New Zealand Defence Force Brigadier Roger Mortlock came up with a daring plan. He told reporters he would deploy a Maori concert group and a shipment of guitars.
The Maori concert group and a good shipment of guitars are going to be the main weapons in our arsenal.
One of the soldiers recruited to the mission, Fiona Cassidy, was at the time an army officer for the New Zealand Defence Force. She said the decision to embark on an unarmed peacekeeping mission was unprecedented.
It wasn't easy. I mean, we walked into an environment where we were living in effectively a war-ravaged country. We didn't know whether or not we were entirely safe, and it was in pretty traumatic circumstances. And unless you've actually been into a war zone or a country that's been ravaged by war, it's really, really hard to describe the levels of anxiety you can feel. If I'm going into this place or this village, am I going to be okay? While the arms were coming in and being surrendered, there were many, many young men still running with guns who weren't necessarily signed up to the peace process.
Soldiers Without Guns recounts how the Rio Tinto-owned Panguna mine was an important revenue source for the Papua New Guinea government. But the enormous mine was strongly opposed by indigenous landowner groups for polluting waterways and the environment. By 1988, tensions between indigenous locals and migrant workers from Papua New Guinea and Australia had heightened. 10 years of conflict followed, pitting Bougainvillians against the Papua New Guinea government who blockaded the island. The violence evolved into internal conflicts between warring factions within Bougainville itself. New Zealander Will Watson, director of the film, says the war still haunts many Bougainvillians.
The impact of this war on those people I would consider to be past profound. It's burnt into their psyche, and so it has such a massive impact. And this war was really vicious. I mean, this was the worst of a war in the Pacific's history. I mean, they burnt everything to the ground. I mean, casualty rate is just way up there, and they didn't die from bullets. They're dying from starvation and dying from diseases and dying from all sorts of preventable things too. So my goal was to create a story that connected emotionally with people so that you would watch the story and get a sense of how horrible war is. And then you would also get a sense of the great hope that has come out of this civil war.
James Bately is a former Deputy Secretary of Australia's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. He was a senior Australian civilian member on peacekeeping missions to Bougainville.
The Australian government was obviously very concerned about the situation in Bougainville. Part of the problem was that no one really had very good information about what was going on Bougainville after the island was effectively cut off from the rest of PNG. There are certainly plenty of reports of humanitarian problems on the island. What Australia wanted to do was to find some sort of lasting political solution.
A flashpoint in the civil war occurred in 1997 when the PNG government hired mercenaries to end the conflict. Sandline International was a private military company based in London, and James Bately says the now infamous Sandline crisis brought a renewed focus to solving ongoing disputes within Bougainville.
New Zealand saw an opportunity in 1997 in the wake of the Sandline crisis to support a peace process, in a sense a homegrown peace process in Bougainville itself. New Zealand leadership was critical in those first 6 months of the truce monitoring group, but after that it was an Australian-led operation for the next several years.
That year, New Zealand gathered Bougainvillean leaders for midwinter talks at Burnham near Christchurch. The talks ended in many of the leaders signing a truce. a New Zealand-led peacekeeping mission within Bougainville, supported by Australia, Vanuatu and Fiji, aimed to build on that agreement. Des Retema, a 25-year veteran of the New Zealand Defence Force, helped integrate Maori culture within the New Zealand Army, something now entrenched in the country's armed forces. Mr. Retema says cultural diplomacy was paramount to building trust with Bougainvillians on that mission.
Been the indigenous-to-indigenous connection that allowed trust, and with trust that it allowed people to have confidence that the peace was not only able to be achieved, but that the peace was worthwhile maintaining, regardless of the differences which still exist. Our cultural integrity was at risk. But we were prepared to put it out there because we had absolute confidence in our soldiers and our Navy and all those that were there.
A peace agreement between Bougainville's leaders and the Papua New Guinea government was signed in 2001. Female leaders in Bougainville's matriarchal society, where women are regarded as keepers of the land, played a central role in bridging the divide. Will Watson believes the sentiments of cultural recognition, empowerment of women and trans-Tasman cooperation are at the heart of his documentary.
I think the Anzac spirit lives on, and you'll see it when you watch this movie, just how powerful the Anzac spirit is, and you'll see us working together. And, you know, the gift of love, people actually bold enough to help others when they didn't need to.
Bougainville is to hold a referendum to decide their independence from PNG later this year. Tom Stainer, SBS News.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher or Wooshka.